One day, my mother told me this story, and she was telling me the story to show me that I better not get funny around Grandpa, that Grandpa was a man of some substance, and she told me this story. It seems that one day, Grandpa was operating behind the bar there with his rag, and he was drawing these great big steins of Pilsner, and he was laying out the Bock beer. And one day a guy came in. Of course, this was the free lunch days, you know. They had all the stuff, the salami, and they had all the summer sausage and the liverwurst and all the stuff down there at the end of the bar. And Grandpa is working there, and two guys got into a hassle over the pick-a-lily. And they're yelling around and hollering, and they've been hitting the schnapps. And the one thing leads to the next, and the two guys are bumping their derbies together. And Grandpa goes down to the end of the bar and looks at both of them and says, will you please stop that? He had a very slight accent. It was a very slight Bavarian Rhine accent. He said, will you please stop? Well, they look up at Grandpa. Grandpa is 6.5 feet tall, ex of the Kaiser Guards, ex of the dueling corps at Heidelberg. And they stopped. Well, they stopped for about 30 seconds. They knocked down a couple of more thimbles of schnapps, and they started again, this time over the horseradish. Well, Grandpa's down at the end of the bar. He comes back up, and he says, will you please stop or out on Belmont Avenue you'll go. Quick. Well, well, there was a little hassle. You know how these things happen. And they decided now, because they had a little more schnapps, that they were going to take him on. Well, it seems that Grandpa grabbed the biggest guy, who weighed about 230 pounds, grabbed him by the suspenders, spun him around four times like a model airplane propeller. He took off, and he landed out in the middle of Belmont Avenue, like that, trailing schnapps and a couple of great big fat spittoons, and he landed out there, and his derby came after him. Well, his friend then walked up and down the bar, and he's feeling his oats. You see, the guy that Grandpa didn't throw out, his friend then slowly got mad because Grandpa had stopped the fight. And Grandpa was not aware of this. Grandpa's back there polishing the glass. And the next thing that happened is this guy comes up from behind Grandpa, and he has this great big knife, this big toad sticker, yeah, that they use to slice the rye bread. He grabs the knife from out of the rye bread thing, and he reaches over, and right between the shoulder blades, Grandpa gets it. Gunk! Grandpa turns, what is this? Grandpa turns around and says, got on him, what a thing. He grabs this guy by the scruff of the neck, eyeballs jiggling, you know, and he says, where is your friend? And he rushes out with the guy, and here's the friend just about to make the scene coming back in, you know, with the swinging doors. Grandpa gets both of them, and he bounces both of them together and slides them halfway down the block towards Diversey Avenue. Down the block they went. Grandpa turns around and goes back behind his bar. And of course, all these guys are sitting there, you know, and they see this thing sticking out from between Grandpa's shoulder blades. And one of the guys says, August, the knife. Grandpa says, leave the knife alone. Gee, yeah. He says, what'll it be, boys? And, you know, they said, beer, give me a beer there. And so Grandpa pulls beer for a half an hour until the assistant comes in. The assistant arrives. The assistant is named Amel. Grandpa says, Amel, you take over. I'll be back in a half hour. And with that, Grandpa goes out, and right down the Diversey he goes with the knife sticking out between his... He wears a coat, puts the coats over so nobody sees it there. Puts his straw hat on and goes down to Dr. Faupel. He arrives at Dr. Faupel. Dr. Faupel, I have a knife in the back. Please take it out. Dr. Faupel pulls the knife out, gives him a couple of shots of iodine, gives him a little finger of schnapps. Are you all right, August? He spits out a little blood. I am all right. He pulls up his socks, and back he goes to work. Well, he works there the next 8 hours. And finally, it is time now to come home and close up shop and put away the last piece of rye bread and close off the beer barrels, which he does. He arrives back home, and my grandmother, of course, he comes in the house, and he sits down for his nightly sauerkraut and spare ribs. He sits down and opens up the paper. And he sits to read. This is an actual story that came out of my face. He sits down and he's reading. You know, he's reading the paper. He's sitting there reading the Chicago Tribune. He's reading the paper. He says, oh, that Colonel McCormick. Oh, yeah. He's reading the paper. And all of a sudden, my grandmother, who is behind him with a big plate of sauerkraut, observes this. She sees the thing in the back. She says, August, you have a spot on your back here. How'd you get out of that? What do you got on the back? Beet juice on the back? He says, oh, nothing. She says, what is? You tanned your shirt. Oh, you have tanned your shirt. And she takes a close look, and he says, oh, little trouble's down at the bar tonight. And she says, what is the trouble? And with that, he says, I better change shirts. And he goes in and changes his shirt, hangs it up. Comes back out wearing one of his shirts with a soft collar this time. And it wasn't until 3 days later, after the word had filtered down from all the different people in the neighborhood about what had happened, he never even thought it was important enough to talk about. And apparently he got about 6 inches of toad sticker in him. I mean, he really got stuck. And he'd go down to see Dr. Faupel once in a while. Dr. Faupel would look and say, it's coming along fine, August. And August would say, fine, it's only the way it should go. And that was the end of it. He never thought any more about it.